everybody?
Amen.
Praise God indeed. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. Let's all stand, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we prepare. Are there any spoken prayer requests on my right side tonight? Sister Lori? Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Keep us updated if you would, please. Praise the Lord. Anyone else on my right side with a spoken prayer request tonight? All righty. Anyone on the left side with a spoken prayer request? All right. Praise the Lord. Don't want to miss anyone. Anyone up on the rostrum? Yes, he is. Absolutely. Yes, and Brother Terry. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to say this from just my personal, I got to text him just for a second this morning, or we were texting, it just happened, he texted me back, and his spirit is good, and he's putting all of his faith in Jesus, and we just love the Lord this evening. All right, if you have unspoken prayer requests, just show by raising of your hand, and as Brother Eddie mentioned, there's so many, it seems like we're, you know, the flow, and it's wonderful that they come in. And also, anybody watching on the feed, if you have a prayer request, please let us know. We do believe in the power of prayer and the Almighty God, that He is able, so able to do everything exceedingly beyond anything that we could ever imagine. All right, our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You tonight, dear Lord. We thank You for this opportunity You've given us, Lord, to gather in Your house and in Your name. Dear Lord, we're only here because of You, dear Lord, because without You we're nothing. And, dear Lord, we just love and praise You. Lord, we thank You for Your many blessings, dear Lord. We thank You for the praise reports, dear Lord, for the answered prayers, dear Lord. We thank You for having this open channel that we can come directly to You, my Lord, because of Jesus. And, dear Lord, we just love and praise You. Lord, now for each and every spoken prayer request and those unspoken, dear Lord, we ask that You'll be with those. Lord, those that are traveling, those that are sick and shut in, those are in nursing homes, assisted living, dear Lord, we just love and praise You. We ask You to touch them. And dear Lord, there are so many, dear Lord, that have not heard Your name mentioned enough. They've not heard Your word. They've not turned towards You. Dear Lord, we're praying for the lost. And just like as we do in our country, dear Lord, we pray that You'll just turn them around. Lord, let them find that altar of repentance, dear Lord. Let them get that reassurance and that hope and that peace that only You can provide. Again, dear Lord, we just give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of prayers. There's power in the blood. While you're standing, turn to page 390. There's power in the blood. Need y'all to help me sing. I usually have the choir a lot of times behind me when we do this song. I just love it tonight, and I really believe as we lift up the Lord in prayer and praise that He's got all the power. Thank You, Jesus.
Amen.
There is time.
be seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering here in just a second. I have a new announcement I'd like to bring forth. It's that time of year as we were thinking how fast this year is going. And even with all the cancellations and all the things that's going forth, we were able to hear from the Samaritan's Purse that it is all still in plan. It's everything that's still planned. So we will be beginning to collect items for the shoeboxes. And we were asked last year, or Miss Elaine was, if we would announce it earlier to get people thinking about it and get people praying about it. And that's what we're asking now, that you would pray for this activity that we do, this ministry that comes out of our church. We're always so blessed, and we thank each and every one of you, but we want you to pray for the children. There's a lot of going on right now, and I know there's a lot of divisions and all this stuff, but even in the other countries, that these children have an opportunity to learn about Jesus and to hear the gospel. So we ask you to be in that. And also, with the shoeboxes this year, there'll be some changes. Miss Elaine has all the information. As you have any questions or suggestions at what we do. And also, we're going to announce, she's saying at a later date, we'll have the packing party that intended to, you know, like I said, this way we can get started earlier and get everything ready and see where we're at and see what needs to be done. Also this year, it's still the $9 fee to ship the boxes, so if someone just wants to do a monetary donation, it'll be accepted too. And please just note it on your envelope that that's where you want it to go. And we're very blessed with Miss Lori and Brother Thomas as they could coordinate that type of stuff so they know what needs to be done. But we thank y'all very much, and I'll give a few more details. I'm sure I left something out. But I'll go back over the note when I have a chance to read it a little closer. So just praise the Lord. Any other announcements we have tonight? Praise the Lord. Well, we'll go ahead and take up the offering. Just praise God. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Praise God. Brother Jim, we'll just ask you, if you would, just ask the Lord to bless our evening offering. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, sometimes I just think of stuff that I'm going to say when I get up here, and then when I walk up here, my mind just goes totally blank. But that's an age thing, I reckon. I do want to thank the Lord tonight. He is so good to me. Last Saturday morning. I'm not going into a whole bunch of details. I'm just going to do the outline a little bit. I had somebody knocking really hard on my door Saturday morning at 4 o'clock. And I've never had any trouble around there or nothing, so it sort of unnerved me. And then I found out some stuff last night. It was dark. That unnerved me. And I called my granddaughter, and I told her, I said, hey, I said, I'm going somewhere with this y'all. I said, when you get off work, I'm not coming over here and spending the night with Nana. And she's like, well, okay, Nana, but now I've got to run do this, and I got to, you know, I got to go to bed. I've got to get up early. And I told her, I said, just forget it. Don't. By the time you do all that, you'll have to wake me up during the night and all. I said, so just don't worry about it. And I sat up on my recliner, and I said, you know what, God, all of my hope's in you anyway. You give me life, you take life. And I was really a little bit unnerved last night. And I said, so, you know what, I just put my life in your hands. And I went on to bed, and I thought, well, if God can't take care of me, my granddaughter ain't going to be able to take care of me. So, you know, whatever. So, you know, you just want somebody there to help you if you have to fight. And that's what I'm thinking. And but I thank God. I pray, you know, Lord, keep your hands on my kids and my grandkids, my loved ones and myself. Keep us safe through the night. And I pray, you know, the same thing for today, to keep us safe. The only one we got to depend on, period, is God. You know, we can call... I could have called Brother Keith and Sister Jennifer and said, hey, you know what, I'm going to come over to y'all's house, but if it was my time to go, something would have happened on my way to y'all's house. So that's the way I try to look at stuff, so I don't get so frightened. But you know what, I did go to bed last night, and I did, where my bed is, I could see my living room door, and I did look a couple times at the door. I'm not going to lie, I did. But you know what? When I finally did go to sleep, the Lord, you know what? When I woke up this morning, I was still here. The Lord took care of me, and I thank God for that. Amen. So.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Always held out hope when I deserve.
Out an old song, imagine that. But I was listening to what Sister Jennifer was playing at the beginning of church. I believe it was "I'll Live in Glory," and it got me to thinking about this song because I think about heaven a lot here lately, and got a lot of loved ones up there, a lot of family, mom, dad, brother, sister. And lots of friends. And I'm looking forward to seeing them again one day. Because heaven is going to be worth it all. Y'all worship the Lord with me.
Often I've been This one too. But I heard this song the other day, and you know it is so true. You know nothing until you've known the love of God. So y'all just worship as I sing in B flat. If you could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough to reach the sky above.
Beautiful songs tonight. Amen. Just feel the presence of the Lord tonight. Just a wonderful worship spirit that's in the place tonight. Amen. How many loves to worship the Lord? Amen.
Amen.
How many knows we need to worship the Lord? Amen. And the beauty of holiness. Glory to God. Amen. And when we come together, we lay aside every weight, every problem, every issue. I know some of you probably remember the little trouble tree that we had. And the trouble tree was there for a reason, amen. It was to signify that when you come into the tabernacle, when you come into the presence of God or into the sanctuary, you hang all your troubles on the tree out there.
Yes.
And you don't pick them up when you go back, amen. And we still need to do that when we come into the house of the Lord. Just lay everything aside and get our mind totally and absolutely on the Lord tonight. Well, I'm not going to be singing. But y'all sitting on your bench just in case I call you back or whatever. I'm saying that because Sunday night they all had a shocked look on their face. Amen. We say we don't have a program. We just kind of do what we feel like. Amen. What the Lord feels like. If you have your Bibles tonight, amen. How many brought the Word of the Lord with you? Go with us to the book of St. Mark in the 5th chapter, of the book of St. Mark. I feel good in the Lord tonight. I mean, does anybody feel good in the Lord tonight? If you do, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. In Mark, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse number 21, again from the book of St. Mark, chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 21 through down through number 24. The Bible reads this way, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him. And he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for another day, another opportunity to come into your house to worship tonight. Father, we're grateful for those who've gathered here tonight, and we pray your anointing, pray your blessing, God, upon each and every one here, every family represented. And Father, our hearts and our thoughts go out to those who are sick and afflicted. Father, we continue to hold them up in our prayers, God, believing and knowing that you're able, God, to touch them and anoint them and strengthen them, not only those who are afflicted, but those who are caretakers as well. Father, I pray that you would be with them to strengthen them as well. God, now just have your will and way tonight. God, anoint these lips of clay, anoint this vessel. God, Lord, that we might hear from heaven, God, and hear what you would have us to hear. Be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. Just want to talk to you just a little bit tonight, maybe concerning maybe more or less a Bible study when I say that, I just preach like crazy, so I'm not just going to say that. So I'm just going to say we're just going to get right into the Word of the Lord tonight. But if I had a message topic or a title tonight, it would be Prelude to Prayer. Prelude to Prayer, or an Introduction to Prayer, or the beginning of introductory action into prayer. How many has been involved in prayer for a number of years? Amen. How many knows that we still need to learn how to pray? I believe that with all of my heart. We talk about prayer a lot, but the reason we talk about prayer a lot is because we're involved in prayer a lot. We talk about short prayers, we talk about long prayers, we talk about petitioning prayers and prayers of faith and all of these wonderful things. First of all, isn't it a wonderful privilege that we have an opportunity to converse with the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Not only to tell Him what our needs are, but to hear from the Lord, amen, and to get direction from Him. And I want to start with this story tonight, and it's. I thought about this as I was reading this week, and there's actually three different Gospels that refer to this particular story. And to really get the gist of it, you probably need to go into all three of them. One is found in Matthew, one is Mark, and then one also is found in Luke. And they all basically are talking about the same account, but they kind of differ in a little bit as far as being eyewitnesses to what exactly took place. But if you take all three accounts and you add them together, you come up with basically what happened during this time when Jesus just had come back from across the sea. You remember, he was healing the multitude and ministering and teaching, and then they decided to leave, and in the boat that Brother Tony was preaching about the other night, and the storms came, and the Lord, he spoke to the seas, and the sea was calm, and then when they got to the other side, he was met by the demonic spirit, and he cast him out. And now we find that Jesus and the disciples have returned back to the other side. And when they got there, there was a multitude of people waiting on him. And if you read into the Bible history, basically, they were not waiting so much to worship Jesus as they were to receive of Jesus. Because you remember, during this time, before
As Jesus would touch the multitudes, they would bring the lame, the halt, the blind, those that were possessed with divers diseases and afflictions. And Jesus would speak to them and he would heal their bodies. So we find that the multitude mainly was there to receive of the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to do. And this was taking place again as he got out of the boat. And the Bible explicitly tells us that they were basically there congregating by the sea. That tells me that probably Jesus didn't have a whole lot of opportunity for some R&R before they began to throng him again. In fact, one of the Gospels talks about the multitude thronging him or gathering around him and pressing toward him. But as he is ministering and as he is touching and as he is anointing those of the multitude, the Bible begins with a story and tells us that there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. Now, I want us to think about this just a little bit, if we might. This is of the Jewish synagogue, and here we find one of the rulers of the Jewish synagogue who probably was well-versed in the Scriptures and in the Mosaic Law. And in so being, he probably was very staunch in his beliefs and in his practice of the synagogue and the rituals that went through. And they had not recognized, or did they confess, that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, the promised Messiah. So, and that's a very extraordinary fact that he would choose to come to Jesus rather than going to the other rulers or the priest of the synagogue that was there. You would think somebody that was raised there and somebody who had a very vital and important job there in the tabernacle or in the synagogue itself, that might have been his first choice. But I got to think, and the Bible doesn't really bear this out, but I got to think that maybe Jairus was aware of what Jesus was doing. Maybe he had heard of the healings. Maybe he had heard of the deliverances. And maybe he knew the crowd was getting better already in anticipation of Jesus' return from the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And he wanted to be a part of that because he had his daughter, 12 years old, the Bible says, that was there at home and really was in a dying condition. All three of the Gospels allude to this particular fact. They all mention that she was 12 years old. They all agree that she was 12 and that she was at the point of dying. Basically, he probably had done everything he could, called in as many people as he possibly could. Maybe they had prayer. Maybe they had whatever medicine, whatever remedies were available at that particular time. And I'm sure he probably had exhausted everything that he could, but his daughter was not better, and she was dying. In fact, in one place he tells us basically that she probably would die before he was able to return home. And that's the reason he's coming to Jesus. And he comes to Jesus, and this is what I was so impressed with. And I begin to question myself sometimes when I approach the throne of grace, or when I approach the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if, whether it be at an altar here, whether it be at home, behind the steering wheel, wherever it is on my bed, wherever I get in touch with the Lord. And I began to question my approach to the Lord sometimes. And I look at this person who basically was not a follower of Christ. In fact, if you would describe Jairus as one of the rulers of the synagogue, he probably would not be in your top 10, 20, or even top 50 to think that he was a potential follower of Christ because of all of that doctrine and indoctrination that was within him. But I believe that he realized there was something special about this man called Jesus. Amen. How many would agree there's something special about the Lord Jesus Christ? And the first thing that he does when he comes, he looks and he identifies Jesus. Now, the Bible doesn't say that he was familiar with the Lord, doesn't say that he had ever been introduced to him before, don't say that whether he had ever recognized him before. I don't know. But the Bible says he saw Jesus. Amen. And I begin to think about that. Lord, when I come to prayer, do I really see you? And I'm not talking about like I would see that physical wall there, but I'm talking about, is my mind already purged of all of the obstacles, of all of the interference, that I can get a picture, amen, of my Lord and Savior that I want to converse with, that I want to have a time of prayer and a time of meditation and a time of maybe a petition to ask God for something that I need in my life, whether it be healing, whether it be a spiritual anointing, whether it be financial or a decision or whatever the case may be. How many knows that Jesus is a professional in all fields? Amen. He is the counselor. He is the wonderful. He is the great one. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He knows all things. So who better to go to in a time of need than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? But I begin to read that and I begin to ask myself, do I really picture Jesus? Do I really see him as my healer? Do I really see him as my deliverer? Do I really see him as the Son of God, the Messiah, the one, amen, that just his word, amen, can turn things around, to make the impossible become possible? Can I visually and spiritually see that when I come into the presence of the Lord? Or am I preoccupied, or am I thinking other things on my heart or my mind? And am I coming with a prayer, and Brother Allen was talking about this tonight before church, am I coming with a prayer of hope or a prayer of assurance? And the way that came about, he was talking about Gracie praying for Kevin, and said it was, she really believed that that her prayers had really helped the Kevin's healing. And I said, you know what? I would love for children to pray for me, because they haven't learned to doubt yet. Amen. So many times we pray a prayer of hopefulness, but they pray a prayer of deliverance. I remember, and I was telling them about Karen when she was little. She would pray and she'd say, don't worry about it, it's done. We prayed about it. Oh, that kind of faith. Amen. But to be able to have that faith is to get a spiritual picture, a spiritual vision, or focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about this, but how wonderful it is to know that of all the people that are praying simultaneously in this world today, even in this neighborhood, even in this congregation, the Lord has time personally for a one-on-one conversation with me. Do you know how blessed that is? Do you know what a privilege that is out of all of the world? Out of all of humanity, out of all that's going on, and I'm sure there's prayers going up right now, prayers that you and I will never know about, but Jesus is able not only to hear those prayers, but to intercede on behalf of those prayers. And who am I but a lowly piece of flesh that I can come boldly to the throne of God, and he has time for me? Amen. What a wonderful blessing that is, and a wonderful process that is, to be able to come boldly before the Lord. But to see him, he said, he saw Jesus, and the first thing that he did, and this is what just really, really rocked my spirit. He went, you know, every once in a while you read something and just, oh man, and it's been there the whole time, but it's timely, and you read that, and the first thing he tells, and if you read, have to read all three, and let me just kind of give you that so that you won't just think I'm just kind of pulling wool over your eyes. But in St. Matthew, it's found in the 9th chapter. And it's found beginning with verse number 18. That's Matthew's account. And then, of course, we just read Mark's account. And in the book of St. Luke, we find it in the 8th chapter, beginning with verse number 37 and 38. I believe it was. Maybe, nope, looks down further on than that. It's after he 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. So there's three different accounts there. So when you read all of those accounts together, we find that after he saw Jesus, one writer says he fell down at his feet. Another writer says he worshiped him. Another writer, if you read one of the definitions or one of the Bible that's talking about when he fell down prostrate in complete observance of the Lord. Amen. Fell down in front of everybody, and he worshiped the Lord Jesus. Now think about that. He's just left a dire situation at home. He's traveled probably some distance to find the Lord. Now, when he gets there, there's a multitude of crowd. We know that because just a few scriptures down after that, we see the woman with the issue of blood, and she's having a hard time pushing through the crowd just to get to Jesus, just to touch the hem of his garment. So it's not like there's just a few people and his disciples, but there's a great multitude of there. But he is able to identify the Lord, and he finds the Lord, and in front of everybody, which knows his position, knows he's a ruler in the synagogue, knows that he probably doesn't confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and probably let alone even realize that or would admit that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, but he's just left a dire situation. His daughter of 12 years old is dying and may be dead at this very hour, but before he runs and grabs Jesus and says, "You got to come to my house or you got to heal my daughter. I'm running out of time. You got to leave these people." He finds time to fall down and worship Jesus. And when I read that and it began to sink in and I read all three different accounts, I thought, Lord, how many times have I approached the throne? How many times have I come before you with an immediate need, with something that I thought just has to be done now? And I'm just blurting it out and I'm praying and I'm praying. And I've never even once thought to just fall down and worship you before I ever ask you anything. And it came to my mind, a prelude or an introductory to prayer. And I'm not saying every time you got to. I mean, sometimes we ain't got time. We just got to say, Lord Jesus. Amen. I was thinking, Sister Brenda was talking about that, you know, and I was thinking, you know, she was putting more faith in her granddaughter than she was. She wanted her granddaughter to help her fight for something. But, you know, sometimes we ain't got time. And if that knocks on the door, I guarantee you, the first words out of her mouth is, Jesus. I worship you a little bit later, but right now I need Jesus. You know, instead of Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the gun. Take something, you know, because I need you. But I thought about so many times when we have the opportunity and when the timing is there, amen, how many times should we just say, Lord, ever before I ask you anything, I just come to worship you. Lord, I just come to adore you, to acknowledge you. And you know, we can do that because we know and we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We identify him as the Son of God. We identify him as the Messiah, the Redeemer. Amen. All of those wonderful things. We the one that's coming back for us. But here is Jairus, who wasn't a believer. Or at least his history didn't denote that he was a believer. But he saw Jesus, he found Jesus, and he fell down and he worshiped Jesus. And I don't think he just spent just a second or two worshiping Jesus. I believe he poured his heart out. Now listen, his daughter of 12 years old, and I believe one place says his only daughter. I may stand corrected on that, but I think it was his only daughter. She's laying there dying. Could be dead at this very moment, but he takes time to worship and exalt and lift Jesus up ever before he asks anything of the Lord Jesus Christ in front of all of those people. How many knows that there's times, amen, when you got to put the thoughts and everybody else's cares behind you, amen? You got to get in touch with the Lord, and you don't care who hears you, you don't care who is there. I remember Sister Coleman, bless her heart, she believed in prayer. She was a prayer warrior. She was a faithful saint of God. And she didn't believe that if you ask her to pray, she didn't believe in waiting until she got back to church. If you ask her to pray for you and you was in the line at the grocery store, you had prayer right there. You checked your groceries out a little bit later, but you had prayer right there. And I'm not talking about it was just in the Jesus name heal you. It was an earnest expectation of prayer right there during the grocery store or wherever you ran across Sister Coleman. If you asked her to pray for you, she said, let's do it right now. Amen. Because she knew the power of intercessory prayer. But she also knew the wonderful blessing of exalting and worshiping and praising our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he fell at his feet. He bowed down prostrate. He worshiped Jesus. And then he besought him greatly. Basically, that means he got into the meat of the prayer. He actually begged and pleaded Jesus. I thought about how many times do we really get that serious with the Lord? You know, sometimes a serious situation brings on a serious prayer. I know I've given you that example of time that I was praying to pass that test. And, that, you know, I prayed to do tests before, but sometimes I just prayed out of a ritual prayer. Lord, help me pass this test. Lord, help me do good in this class. Help me do good there. But this one was a necessary prayer. This was one that I really, really needed a good score on this test. And you know, just like the Spirit of the Lord said, well, how serious are you about this prayer? Are you serious enough to get out of the bed? And I'm not saying God doesn't hear your prayers when you're laying flat on your back on your bed, because I prayed a lot that way. But every once in a while, on those serious prayers, you throw the covers back and you hit your knees and you get down on the side of the bed and you say, yes, Lord, I am serious. And it was just like it was impressed in my mind. Are you serious enough to pray all night? And, you know, you think, well, I really need this, Lord. This is a serious prayer. And then it came, and this is when we lived across from the high school, just across, well, I could see the lights from the high school and all from my window, and there was a light on in one of the rooms. And it was like the Lord said, would you be willing to pray till they turn that light off? And I'm thinking, there's nobody over there, God. And there won't be until the janitor comes in the morning to cut that light off. And it's like God says, well, are you serious? Are you serious enough to pray? And you know what? I needed that was that. You know, in some of my prayers, I would say, just forget it. Basically, I wouldn't have said that, but I say, no, I'm not going to pray all night. I'll get with you in the morning. You know, that's how we are sometimes. But this was needful. This was a serious prayer. So I said, I began to pray. And I said, yeah, Lord, you know what? If it takes it, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray here all night. If I have to pray all night, I need this. This is serious. I'm going to pray. You know, sleep regardless of whatever. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray till that light goes off. When that light goes off in the morning, you know, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to say, Lord, I have prayed and I have given my all. So I'd pray and I'd pray and I'd pray and I'd get real serious, you know, and how we pray sometimes. And then you ever prayed and then peeped? And I'd pray and then I'd peep, see if that light was still on. And it was. So I pray, I pray, I pray again, you know, and I'd peep and this light was still on. And this went on for several hours, seemed like. But, you know, and then I got beyond that. How many know sometimes you got to pray yourself into shape? You ever been there? Hey, amen. You pray till you pray. Come on, somebody. You pray till you pray. Glory to God. You get past the rehearsed words. You get past the prayer of, what is it? There's a prayer that I got to pray, or it's a check-off list, and you pray until you pray. And I was praying, and I wasn't just only praying for that but immediate necessary need that I thought I just had to have, but I began to pray, Lord, help me to be what you would have me to be. Help me to be closer to you. Lord, I don't want to play this Christian thing anymore. Lord, I want to be serious. And I was praying, and I was praying, and I don't know how much time passed by, but I got caught up in it, and I don't know how long I prayed, and then, you know, I was praising the Lord and looking, and I kind of looked over there and I did a double take, and that light was out. Now, this is in the middle of the morning. I mean, this is in the past the midnight hour. You might say, well, Brother Eddie, that was just a coincidence. I don't think it was. I think the Lord wanted to test me and make sure that I was serious enough. And I was. I was going to pray until that light went out, because, and when I got serious, God got serious. Amen. Praise the Lord. So many times we need to take advantage of that time that we converse with the Lord, not only here as he did. He began to beg. He began to plead. He besought the Lord Jesus. He's worshipped him. He's found him. He's put his feelings behind him. He's not embarrassed anymore, because he knows, amen, that it's all out. Everybody's seen what he's doing. And he's asking the Lord. Why? Because things were serious at his house. He knew that he could not do anything, but he knew that Jesus could come to his house, and that's what he asked him to do, come into her house, and he knew that Jesus could touch her and heal her body. I pray thee. Listen to that. I pray thee. Look how later the prayer actually comes. After the recognition, after the falling down and worship him, after he besought him greatly with with pleading and begging, Lord, please. There's no other way. God, I've got to have you, Lord. If you don't intercede, God, then there's going to be a death at my house. Lord, I need you. I need you to move, Lord. I know that you are the great I am. I know, Lord, and I realize your power, and I've seen your power manifested, and I greatly beseech you, Lord, to come. And he says, I pray thee, come and lay hands on her. One place says, come into my house. Oh, I tell you what. When I saw that, I thought about the prayers that we pray. Lord, come into my house. Hallelujah. I heard a song one time, and it talked about there was one room in this song and that this person that was off limits. Everything else in the house, there was access to. And this song was identifying that with our relationship with the Lord. Lord, you come into my house, and you have the freedom to go everywhere you want to in my spiritual house, in the tabernacle, except this one room. And this one room, Lord, it's because it's so dark. It's because I have hid all of those things, and I've put all of those things. And Lord, you just don't need to go there. You just don't need to. That's the part I'm trying to get over, and that's the part I'm trying to put behind me, and I'm trying to do better. But that's where all the contraband is. That's where the skeletons live. And Lord, but you can have full access to any other part of my spiritual house. And guess where the Lord wants to go? He wants to go directly to the room to have full access of your house. And if that be the case, and I saw that and I was reminded, he said, Lord, come into my house. Come into my house. And I know he was talking physically, but I believe there's a type and shadow there of come into my house spiritually. Lord, when I come before you, I come with praise, I come with worship, and I come with a petition because I need you to do something that is impossible with man. Only you can do this. And I beseech you, Lord, I can't tell you enough how serious it is. But Lord, also, I want you to come into my house, and I want you to fill me spiritually. God, I want to be totally and absolutely dependent on you. And I want to be able to come to you anytime, Lord. I want that access. And how many know we have that access? The Lord says, bring me every burden, every care. We can come boldly before the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful privilege? Do you know it hadn't always been that way? Do you know there was a veil? There was a partition before Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross of Calvary. And you had to take your cares and you had to take your troubles to the priest. And he had to go behind the veil for you. Aren't you glad you don't have to do that anymore? Aren't you glad you can go right directly to the Lord Jesus Christ? And the reason you can is because when Jesus gave up the ghost, amen, that veil was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying that no man had done that. God himself had done that. He said, you know what? You got access. You can come boldly to the throne of grace. You can come to me now, amen, for healing, for anointing, for deliverance, for victory, whatever the case may be. Come into my house. And he was asking Jesus here. And here, then he said, faith. Here's the faith part. That she may be healed and she shall live. Now, he's very explicit with his prayer request. And I wonder sometimes, are we that explicit? Not that God doesn't already understand. But you know why we need to be explicit? Because that's faith builders. That's faith builders. When we're explicit, Lord, I need you to come into my house. I need you to lay your hands on her that she might be healed and that she might live. He was very explicit. Exactly what he was having faith for and believing. And again, it's not that we have to explain everything to Jesus, but you know what? That builds our faith. When we make a petition before God and we make it explicit and then God does it, we know without a shadow of a doubt that it had to be God. Because you know what? The devil doesn't want you to make that explicit prayer request. He wants you to pray in general terms. That way you can maybe be let down very easy if it doesn't happen. But you know, I told you about my mother praying not only that Dennis's arms be healed, but it would be straight. She prayed a very explicit prayer. You know what? And it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in a couple of weeks. In fact, it happened in God's time. But you know what? God straightened that arm out. And I'm not going to go into detail. I've said that too many times, but that's a good example. But faith that she might be healed and that she shall live. Now, Jesus could have spoken the word, could he not? But Jesus goes with him. And I believe not only to heal his daughter, but to change his life. Glory to God. You know what? The power of prayer. I have heard firsthand the power of prayer can actually benefit the one who is praying for someone else. I have heard firsthand experience testimonies of where saints of God would gather around and they would begin to pray for a need with some person who had already come to the altar, and maybe they had a need and they really wasn't going to bring it before the church or wasn't going to bring it to the altar, but while they was praying for someone else, God came into the house and he not only touched and healed the recipient here, but he touched and healed the one who was praying for them as well. Amen. Prayer is powerful, folks. When we begin to pray, amen, unto God and pray that his will be done, amen, there's no telling how many miracles can be performed. So here they go, and Jesus went with him. Okay, now let's lay it back out. A dire situation at home. Every moment counts, and he's already come, and I don't believe it was a quick prayer and grab Jesus by the cuff and say, here, we got to go to the house. He took time to worship him. He took time to fall down. He took time to petition him. He took time to besought him and begged him and prayed and explained the situation. My daughter's lying at home, maybe dead now, and I need you to come into my house. All of that took some time. So here they go. And they no sooner get started than here comes this woman with the issue of blood. And she's pushing through the crowd. You know the story. And she finally gets to Jesus. And you know what? If that been an impatient person, he was, well, you got time, Lord. We got to get to the house. My daughter's dying. Lord, I need you to heal me. I need you to forget about those other folks right now. I need this. I need you to touch me right now. How many of us talked about a while ago, the Lord is able to hear all of our prayers at the same time and deliver us, amen, at the same time. But here is a dire situation. And if he's an impatient person, and I know none of us are ever impatient, especially with the Lord. We got that scripture down, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Lord, just in your sweet time. whenever you want, Lord, you remember me now. Don't forget about that prayer that I prayed about. Very patient. So here comes this lady with this issue of blood. And you know what? In my mind, all of this is going on like slow motion. Because listen, this lady can't even hardly walk. She's had this situation for, imagine that, 12 years. Wow, 12 years. And the little girl is 12 years old, lying, dying now, waiting on Jesus to come and touch. But Jesus stops. Who touched me? Somebody has touched me. This time I said, Lord, everybody's touching you. Yeah, but somebody touched me because I felt virtue. I felt power come out of me. Amen. How many know that sometimes we don't have an opportunity to fall down and worship? We don't have an opportunity to go through a long prayer. But if we can get through the crowd and just touch the hem of his garment, we can still receive the same power. How loving is God? How great is the Lord? Amen. To be able to heal us, even when he's not looking directly at us. And here's Jairus waiting very patiently. And then they move on, and then here comes a messenger. Ooh. And the messenger says, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. Your daughter is dead. Boy, don't you know that Satan would jump all over you, all over us, if Jesus hadn't took so long? If that woman hadn't come up there and stopped him, he might have got to the house on time. Who knows? Whenever Jesus arrives, it's the right time. Amen. Ask Lazarus. Ask Lazarus. Amen. His sisters wanted him to get there before he died, but the Lord had other plans. But Jairus doesn't say, the Bible doesn't say that he gets bitter. It doesn't say that he's impatient.
he still lets the Lord go there, and the Lord gets to him. And when he cometh to the house, in verse 38, of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeing the tumult, and see them that wept and wailed greatly, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And listen to their response. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, in one place I think it was Peter and John, and entered into where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha Kumai, or Kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. Jesus has a plan. We don't always understand it. I'm sure Jairus didn't really understand it. I don't even know if the lady with the issue of blood really understood it. I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe in the luck. I just believe that God has a plan for everything. And there's some very similarities that are here. Somebody said that they had researched and couldn't find anywhere else that when Jesus healed some lady, that he called her daughter, except for the one that was with the issue of blood. And she had the issue of blood 12 years. And he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. And when he gets to the house, here is an actual daughter who is at the age of 12 years old, and she dies. And Jesus said, no, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And he takes her by the hand and tells her to get up. And in the name of the Lord, she rises and is fully healed of whatever condition that she had before. So when he said, listen, what Jairus said, he was very explicit with his prayer. He said, he besought him greatly, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and that she shall live. He basically had a twofold prayer request, very explicit. If you'll come to our house, lay hands on her, that she'll be healed, and that she will live. Jesus touched her, and she both was healed, and life came back into her. A prelude to prayer. What do we think about? What goes through our heart, goes through our mind, when we enter into an intercessory prayer with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we understand the seriousness of the nature, the matter? Do we understand the privilege, the honor that we have? And I think when we realize that, we want to come with an appreciative spirit, a humble spirit, and a spirit of worship. Amen? Worshiping unto the Lord. You know, worship is something. You know, we've kind of incorporated praise and worship together. And praise and worship goes hand to hand, but praise and worship is two different things. I mean, worship is when you are acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're acknowledging His power. You're acknowledging Him and exalting His name. And you know, the Bible tells us that He is a jealous God. There shall be no other gods before Him. I believe that we really, really don't take advantage of truly worshiping the Lord Jesus as we ought to and as we should. We got the prayer part down. We know how to make intercessory prayer. We know how to pray those serious prayers. We know how to really get in touch with God and to exercise our faith. But when I'm reading that, it has shed a new light on the way that I want to enter into the presence of God. I want to enter into that prayer time with, first of all, a great admiration of who He is, and worship Him and love Him and thank Him. And you know what? When we do that, the petition part doesn't have to last that long. I think sometimes we get repetitive with the petitioning. Like God has got to hear it three or four times. When really He doesn't.
But if you come in with that frame of mind and with that faith, believing that what we ask, the Lord Jesus will do. Amen? It's a wonderful thing. If you have an opportunity, read those three accounts there in Matthew and then Mark and also in Luke and see how they go hand in hand. What a remarkable story this was that Jairus came and petitioned the Lord Jesus Christ. And before he asked of anything, he worshiped the Lord. It made me think of Job and when all he was going through his troubles. And, you know, one of the last things probably we would, as human beings, would think to do is fall down and worship the Lord just about right after we've lost about everything that's near and dear to us. And if you read the book of Job, he lost a lot. We know that in the end time, God replenished it all and even gave him more than he had to begin with. But Job didn't know that. He didn't know that he was going to receive all that. But he said, after all of that, he fell down and worshiped God. Do not discount the power of worship when you enter into your prayer time with the Lord. Amen. You love Jesus. You love him with all your heart. And aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed to have a Lord and Savior like Jesus Christ? God bless you. I love you. Would you stand tonight? This altar is open. And we say that all the time, but this altar never closes. How can you close an altar? Amen. This altar is always open. If you have a need, bring it to the Lord tonight and we'll pray with you. If you have a situation, whatever the case may be, God is able. He's able not only to do it, but to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. If no one has a specific prayer request, then we do have several of our church members who are hurting. Many are sick. Many are afflicted. They need a move of God. So let's continue to pray for them, not only tonight as we dismiss, but during this next week. Let's pray for them that God would strengthen them. I miss them, don't you? I miss them so much, and my heart goes out to them. It seems like some of them are just having constant situation after situation. But we know God's in charge, and we know God's able. So let's pray for them. And let's continue to pray for our nation. Amen. Pray for its leaders and pray for the things that are transpiring in this world. Brother Jim, if you would come, dismiss us with a word of prayer. God bless you. We love you with all of our heart. Have a blessed evening.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise and just worship Him and just praise His holy name. Praise God. Again, as Brother Eddie just asked, all hearts and minds clear. Just love each and every one of you. I know, like as he said, there are a lot of prayer requests going forth. And as we continue to pray and just ask the Lord just to lift up each and every situation. We love y'all. And for those that are watching the live feed, we love you too. If you need anything or have a prayer request, don't forget just to post it there at the bottom of the screen or on our webpage, and we'll be glad to pray with you. And also, we have the prayer box that we have prayer requests in. And good to see folks back that's had procedures, and God just healing and touching. Just praise the Lord. All righty, with this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, we just thank you for allowing us to gather in your name. Lord, for allowing us to feast on your word. Dear Lord, as the message has gone forth now, dear Lord, may we take it in, not just to hear it, dear Lord, but may it be placed in our heart and in our mind. And, dear Lord, that we will just be obedient to you, dear Lord. We'll lift you up and glorify you, dear Lord. And as we come to you, dear Lord, and bring you all our all, and, dear Lord, we just love and praise you. Dear Lord, for the children downstairs, for those in the drama practice, for the teens outside, dear Lord, and for everyone here, dear Lord, we ask that you just bless each family. Keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. You're all invited to Sunday school Sunday morning, too.